More Idaho Matters right now. Idaho Ed News is investigating a $3.5 million state contract to create a data dashboard. It's so parents and teachers could see everything from how a student is doing in school to how the pandemic has affected a child's education. Now, this dashboard is not up yet, and Governor Brad Little's point person on the project has actually left his state job to work for the company building this new website. Idaho Ed News senior reporter Kevin Richard has done a deep dive into this story, and he is joining us live to talk more about this. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks for having me on.
So can we start with the dashboard itself? Why did the State Board of Ed want it, and what's it supposed to do?
Well, the whole idea behind this dashboard, it kind of the origins were back in the spring. The governor's office, the State Board of Education, the State Department of Education, they all realized or agreed on the idea that we need a better system of figuring out how students are doing in the wake of the pandemic. What kind of learning loss have we seen? What sort of problems are students having? So that was the origin of creating this data dashboard. It gets a lot more interesting, a lot more sticky as you go, because you know then you start to get into the whole contract process and how Greg Wilson, a member of the governor's office, was involved in that process, and how he is now left the governor's office to work for the, as you say, for the company that got the contract.
Okay, so the state started reaching out to vendors a while ago, right, who could build this dashboard. You mentioned the name Greg Wilson. So can you talk to us about who he is and how he was involved as a state employee?
Yeah, so Greg Wilson had been on the governor's staff for, I want to say, pretty much the governor's entire time in office. And I think he even goes back to the governor's time as lieutenant governor. So Greg Wilson has been a confidant of Brad Little's for quite some time. And he was Little's point person on education. So when the idea of a K-12 data dashboard came along last summer, well, it stands to reason that Wilson was an integral player in that process. He was working with the group that was trying to figure out what this dashboard was going to look like. He spoke to some of the prospective vendors, including SAS or SAS, the company that ultimately got the contract and the company where Wilson now works.
Okay, so then in October of 2021, so we're talking, what, about 3-4 months ago, the state signed what's called a no-bid contract with this SAS Institute Incorporated out of North Carolina. What's a no-bid contract, and why is this a no-bid contract?
Well, a no-bid contract, Gemma, is pretty much what the name implies. I mean, it is a contract that's awarded outside of the competitive bidding process, which is a time-consuming process. It takes several months to go through prospective bids and review the bids and go through that. So this ostensibly speeds up the process. It certainly speeds up the contract process. So back in September, the State Board of Education went to the State Department of Administration and asked for the permission to bypass the competitive bidding process. And they recommended SAS for the contract at that point. They got permission to do that. SAS signed the contract in October. So this, like I say, this is a very quick process. It only took a couple of months to award the contract. Normally it would take 6 months or more to award the contract. And the argument for doing this was to try to get this data dashboard, at least part of it, at least the first phase of it, up and running. State Board was hoping to see the first phase of it up by January 1st. Here we are, February 15th, no data dashboard up and running.
Okay, so this happened in October. The goal, as you mentioned, was to have at least some of the dashboard up and running January 1. What happened between October and January 1 is that in December, Greg Wilson left his state job.
Yes.
But he took a job with the SAS Institute.
Exactly. So, yeah, let's fast forward to mid-December. This was when Greg Wilson turned in his notice at the governor's office and said he was taking a job with SAS. A couple of things really important to note here, because I think this is where, you know, listeners, you know, your minds might go to. This is legal. There is nothing in state law that prohibits a state official from moving from the public sector to the private sector. There's no revolving door law that affects that or precludes that. And the Attorney General's office looked into it and determined that there was nothing illegal about what happened here. And when Greg Wilson turned in his notice to the governor's office and the State Board of Education with SAS took pains to kind of wall Wilson off from any further discussions about this project, about this data dashboard. So he was taken off of the project for the final couple of weeks that he was a member of the governor's staff. And, you know, I reached out to Wilson and he gave me a written response to some questions. And he said that the work that he's doing has nothing to do with the Idaho data dashboard. It really, he says he has no work that he's doing in Idaho. He's kind of a regional, you know, sales representative or sales executive for SAS in the Rocky Mountain region. He says most of his work is in Colorado. You know, it's the whole timing is really interesting in the story, in putting the story together and writing the story, but the timeline is the story and the timeline really kind of gives the structure to the story. So if you go to idohednews.org, if you're confused by anything I just walked through, because there's a lot we walk through here, I lay out the timetable, hopefully in written format that's a little bit clearer than explaining it in, you know, over the radio.
So, but, and also, Kevin, in your story, you write that the governor says that he was not aware that Wilson was even looking to leave his position until he turned in his resignation.
Yeah, so let's talk about that timetable, because that's really important, too. Wilson told me that he applied for the job in November. Now, this would be a month after SAS got the contract. So he applied in mid-November. He says he was responding to a job posting, and he did provide me a copy of a posting. He did provide me with an email that indicated that he did indeed apply in November. The governor's staff says that they were unaware that Wilson was an applicant. They were unaware that he was looking for a job. They were unaware that he was being in an interview process with SAS until Wilson turned in his notice via email. And, you know, that feels plausible. I think, you know, a lot of times an employee starts looking for a job and doesn't necessarily tell his or her boss right away that they're looking for a job until it gets to a point in the process where there's something to talk about. So that doesn't necessarily strike me as odd. The timing of the application and finding it out through the job posting, that's the stuff I walk through as well in the chronology in the story. And we're just trying to lay it out, let readers determine what they make of it all.
If you're just joining us, let me reintroduce our guest. We're talking with Kevin Richard with Idaho Ed News. Kevin is doing an investigation into a $3.5 million state contract. It's about an educational database and an employee of the governor's office leaving his position to go work for the company that was contracted to do the work on this database. So, Kevin, you mentioned that our state does not have what's called a revolving door law. So without one, what's to stop this from happening again? Because it's perfectly legal for someone to do this.
Right. There is nothing in the law that precludes any state employee from doing this. A lot of revolving door laws in states involve elected officials. They involve legislators, and they require legislators to, you know, have a cooling off period between the time that they spend in office to the time that they start working as a lobbyist, that they start working the state house as a lobbyist. That's kind of the term of art when we talk about revolving door and cooling off periods. That is a lot of what we talk about in those laws. But there are some states, as I looked at, as I researched the story, there are some states that extend that to state employees or state officials, not Idaho.
So, Kevin, could the argument be made that, I mean, twofold, I think, that, look, he's a state employee. We know historically the majority of state employees do not make tons of money. If you go into the private sector, you can definitely probably do better financially. So here is a state employee who wanted to better his lot in life. I think that argument can be made. On the flip side of that, even though what he did was legal, there may be some people that say, well, this is a real shade of gray, right? Maybe it's not illegal, but is it necessarily ethical?
I think you raised two really important questions. I think the first is really a personal question that I think a lot of folks in the public sector have had to deal with at one time or another, because you're right. I think a lot of public sector employees, not just, an employee of the governor's office, they may look at their paycheck as a public sector employee and say, I could do better in the private sector. I don't know Greg Wilson's salary at SAS. I don't know what he's making there. I don't know. I don't know for certain what he was making in the governor's office. So I can't speculate on whether he's making more with a private company or not, but a lot of times you see public employees leave for private sector to get a bigger paycheck. So setting that aside, the question of, is it gray? Well, in the sense that when I look at the job posting that Wilson provided me from SAS, it's pretty clear SAS was looking for somebody who knows state government, who has contacts in state government, who has credibility, who has some cachet to take into the marketplace to help SAS come up with clients in the public sector. So it's not accidental that SAS was interested in hiring somebody like Greg Wilson, who's been in state government for some time. That's, if it's legal for that company to make that hire, you can't be too surprised that they did it. That's business.
Right. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Okay. So let's get back to this SAS dashboard that was supposed to be up and running on January 1st. Any idea when this may be up and running? And also, Kevin, do we know how much money the state is out at this point in the sense of they've paid for a product that they don't have yet?
Okay, let's talk about the money first, because an important point to make, this is taxpayer money. There's no question about that. This money came from the federal coronavirus stimulus law, and a portion of that stimulus law that governors across the nation get to put into education projects. It's this kind of discretionary fund that governors get for education projects. So Governor Little is using some of that money for this data dashboard project. Late February is a possible target date to see some of this data dashboard up and running. That's the last I heard from the State Board of Education as I was working on this story. When it is up and running, this project will provide a lot of different things. It'll be a data dashboard for the public. It'll be the sort of predictive tool the teachers can use to figure out how their students might do in the future. It sort of analyzes what we had in the way of learning loss during the pandemic. As for how much money has gone out right now, it's a three-year contract. About $1.5 million went out in the first phase for the first year of the project. Then there's about $1 million a year for keeping the data dashboard up and running, keeping it up to date, making any changes, doing any support on the project. That's about $1 million a year to SAS over the next 2 years.
Before we wrap up, Kevin, you are waiting for more public records requests. So you may have more to add to this story at some point.
Yep, we're going to keep looking at it. I have public records requests out to get the emails to and from the State Board of Education, to and from the governor's office, to try to see what there is in that paper trail. So we're continuing to look into it.
All right. Well, always good to have you on the program, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gemma.
We've been talking with Kevin Richard with Idaho Ed News. Of course, if you want to read Kevin's story, we will link back to his full story on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. More Idaho Matters next.